So one of the greatest challenges that I find as a pastor is no matter how smart people are, no matter how much you've been in church and stuff like that, kind of universally in our culture today and in the church, every church, we find people who feel inadequate about reading the Bible. Maybe you can relate to that. I have so many conversations with people who say, I don't feel like I can come to Refresh Group because I don't know where things are in the Bible. Guess what? So is our whole culture like that. And it's so funny because it doesn't really matter, like all your experience. So many people feel overwhelmed with where to start, or maybe feel like kind of inadequate when it comes to maybe your lack of Bible knowledge means that you're never going to catch up. You're never going to understand it. So what we do with the Bible is we put it on our shelf, and we wait until the next time we come to church to hear a word from the Lord. And so this past Christmas, we got our son Peyton a Bible of his own. And you heard him on Christmas Eve. He just started reading. It's kind of fun. And he's doing a good job with it. So we got him his own Bible. And it occurred to me that just like everybody, he's brand new to the Bible reading it, you know? And so it occurred to me, he opens to the beginning, which is like, you know, some like, table of contents and stuff like that. And he starts reading. And I started realizing, you know what? A lot of people, when they read the Bible, they just start at the beginning and read through the end. And that's fine. That's good. But it occurred to me that what if I could just kind of take some time and help him to see kind of how the Bible's set up, and then he could maybe understand it a little bit better. And so I did. I took some time and I explained it. And I kind of saw these light bulbs going off in his mind where instead of it being this massive book and like, oh my goodness, all this is about God. How am I supposed to know this? I could see in his six-year-old mind, it was clicking, like, okay, that makes sense how this is organized. And I thought, you know, maybe as we're going into this last worship service of the year, I would just, instead of preaching, that I would kind of do a little bit of teaching and teach you a little bit about kind of what I was teaching him, how the Bible's arranged so that we can better understand it for ourselves. And so let me just take a moment to do that. The Apostle Paul wrote this about Scripture in his second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God," that's us, "may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so the first thing that you need to know, the big idea about the Bible, is that all Scripture is God-breathed. You know, maybe wondering, like, what is this about? This is the breathed-out Word of God for us, His people. In fact, the Scripture, I took Peyton through this, and I said, did you know that the Bible is not just like one big book? Yes, it is. It's a book. But it's actually made of 66 different books. Did you know that? There's 66 different books that were connected together, that were collected together to form what we know as our Bible. At least in the Protestant church, there's 66 books. And out of those 66 books, each book was written down by the hands of people. People wrote it with their own hand under the direction of the Holy Spirit, except for like the Ten Commandments, for instance, when Moses was on the mountain of God and God literally like inscribed it into tablets, his word. But all of the other Scripture essentially was written down by human hands, inspired by the word of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. But each book in the Bible is essentially the fully inspired word of God. It's God's word to us. It shows us who God is, shows us who we are. It tells us about how we can attain salvation and how we can live in alignment with God and His purposes. This may seem a little elementary, but let me tell you a little bit about how it's organized. 66 books of the Bible. About two-thirds of the Bible is the Old Testament. There's two Testaments. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that you may be like, if you've grown up in church, yeah, I know that. But the Old Testament is essentially called the Hebrew Bible in a lot of places because the Old Testament is basically everything that happened before Jesus. So it's basically from the beginning of time, in Genesis, we see the creation of the world, all the way through the Exodus when God led his people out of slavery in Egypt, all the way to their journey through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. They get to the gates of the promised land, and the first five books of the Bible are called the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It goes all the way to when they get to the edge of the promised land and Moses dies, and that ends what's called the Torah, or you may have read the New Testament when Jesus is talking about the law. That's the first five books of the Old Testament, the law, the Torah. And that's basically what is in the Old Testament. Now, here's the thing. I got a little bit ahead here, but let me explain this. The Old Testament was originally written in the Hebrew language. You actually read it from right to left, which is really weird, right? You read it from right to left, and it looks like hieroglyphics, right? But the Hebrew language, it's why it's also called the Hebrew Bible. And for those who are Jewish, the Old Testament is their scripture. So we have the same scripture in the Old Testament as Jewish people. Isn't that cool? In fact, the Hebrew Bible, originally written in Hebrew, so same scripture as what we have in the Old Testament. Then we get to the New Testament, and the New Testament was a game changer for us because the New Testament is everything from when Jesus came on this earth at Christmas all the way to everything after that, so all the way to Revelation, which is the very last book. In fact, the New Testament... Here's what Jesus said. You may think that the New Testament must be better because it's new, and the other one's old, so maybe that means we can just throw it out and we pay attention to Jesus in the New Testament. But here's what Jesus said about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said this. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." In other words, I didn't come to throw out the Old Testament. He said, "I have not come to abolish them, but to what? To fulfill them." And so Jesus coming, God in the flesh, Emmanuel with us, is the one in whom all the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, was pointing to and talking about and preparing for. Jesus fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and he carried them on to completion. And so that's why it's a big deal. So the New Testament, just like Hebrew, the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. Basically Greek, street Greek, essentially. Koine Greek was the language that was the common language that everybody spoke. And so it's written, the Bible, in a very normal language. It wasn't written in KJV, hard to understand. You understand? The KJV didn't come around for a long time. It's written in Koine Greek, which is basically what people spoke on the streets. Like, "Hey, buddy, what's up? How are you doing?" This is how the Bible's written, you know? And so it would almost be like you're watching TV today and even a five-year-old can understand it. This is what the Bible is written in because God wanted to speak to us in a clear way. And so in the New Testament, in Greek, basically what it means is every Bible version, if you go to the Bible store today, or you go to the Christian bookstore today, you basically will see a bunch of translations. You may wonder, what are all these translations? Those are basically, the versions are all different translations of the Hebrew language and of the Greek New Testament. So that's basically what it is. And so just like any kind of interpretation, they're great interpretations. And so you see some variations because sometimes, let's say there's a word that means big, right? Some translations will translate it big. Some translations will say huge. You know, they'll use different words for big. And so we kind of see that with different translations. There's all different translations for the Bible, but it's all translating these scriptures. But what Paul is telling us about the Old Testament and the New Testament is that it's all God's word. It's all God's word that was breathed out from the very heart of God. And so the scripture is God's word to us, his people. It's so important. And so we don't come to worship the Bible. Sometimes churches get really big about worshiping the Bible. No, no, no. We've come to, it says in John chapter 1, verse 17, Christmas passage, it says, or verse 14, it says that the word or Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, Jesus is the word of God that is lived out among us. We worship him, but the scriptures point us to who he is. So John Wesley talked about scriptures, and here's what he once said about the scripture. He said, "The Holy Scripture contains all things necessary to salvation." In other words, scripture is not just a history book. Scripture's purpose is not a science book. So if you read Genesis 1 and 2, when it talks about creation, the purpose of God is not to say, here is exactly to the minute detail scientifically how it all happened. The purpose of the Hebrew scriptures is to say, hey, it happened, God created it, he was here before this all happened, and God did it all, you know? So it's basically, its purpose is to show us how we can have salvation, to point us to God. That's the purpose of the scriptures, so that we could live according to God's design. And so, as 2 Timothy 3 said, that all scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, and to equip us to follow and to serve God. That's basically what the purpose of scripture is. So all these 66 books of the Bible, they're all different kinds of writings. I got a little bit ahead of myself here, but there's different kinds of writings. So the Old Testament, let me break it down for you. I already did this, but the first five books of the Bible is called the Torah. Or the law, just like Jesus said. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. These are the first five books of the Bible. And it basically goes from creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, all the way through when, like I said, when Moses got to the edge of the promised land right before they entered and he dies. Then we transition into a little bit more history. The Old Testament, there's several different sections. Gets into more history about God's people and what God did in their life. There's also sections of the Old Testament that's basically prophecy. It's the prophets that are speaking. So there's the major prophets and the minor prophets. And the major prophets are guys like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. They're called major prophets just because they wrote more, not because they're more important. So there's major prophets. And prophets received a word from God and spoke the word to the people. That's how people heard God's word. So we see their writings. And we also see the minor prophets, which simply mean people like Hosea and Jonah and Micah. And they're minor prophets just because they wrote less. That's why they're minor prophets, right? Outside of that, you get other books in the Bible that are basically called wisdom literature. It's wisdom literature. And the wisdom literature is things like, for instance, the Psalms is essentially a bunch of poetry that was written to songs that was written by David and other people. And so it's wisdom literature. Another thing that we get, Song of Songs is another one. But some is just incredible wisdom about life and God, like Ecclesiastes and even Proverbs that was written by the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon. In fact, I want to encourage you to maybe take some time to read through some of the Proverbs. If you want to know how to handle money, if you want to handle how to handle one another, Proverbs has great wisdom about even business stuff. So you can check that out. But anyway, so the Old Testament goes all the way until about 400 years before Jesus, and there's nothing written for about 400 years. So that's essentially the Old Testament. Kind of makes sense? So the New Testament is, let me break it down for you. It's actually even easier. The New Testament is like this. It starts with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I made my son Peyton memorize this so he would know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the Gospels tell the story about Jesus. There are four different perspectives about Jesus. In fact, if you were to go to a ball game, four people were to go to a ball game, and you were to come back and tell the story about what happened at the ball game, you would all be talking about the ball game. But everybody would have different perspective. Oh, the cotton candy was so good. And, oh, did you see that play that this guy made? And, you know, whatever. You'd talk about it from your perspective. So it is with the Gospels. There's four different Gospels, different individual people, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, telling their perspective about Jesus and his story. And in fact, Matthew, let me just break the four Gospels down. Kind of interesting. Matthew was actually written for a Jewish audience. The purpose of Matthew is to show for all the people who grew up Jewish that, hey, the one that we've been talking about, the Christ, the Messiah that we've been waiting for, it's him. It's Jesus. And so Matthew writes this to basically point people to say, he's the one. Mark, on the other hand, is kind of the Reader's Digest version. It is the shortest gospel out of all the gospels, 16 chapters. Very short, very succinct. If you're an engineer, you would love Mark because it's like this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Very, very succinct. In fact, a lot of people believe that Mark was the first one written, and Matthew and Luke took Mark as a source and other sources to put together their gospels. Kind of interesting. Luke, on the other hand, just like Matthew was for the Jewish audience, Luke is the opposite. Luke was written for a Gentile, non-Jewish audience. And Luke's purpose is to show that the gospel is for everybody, not just for Jewish people. It's for everybody. That's why you get the shepherds in Luke's gospel. That's why you get the prodigal son in Luke's gospel to show, no, God runs after every person. And then we get to the Gospel of John, and this is maybe my favorite gospel, because John not only tells you what happened, but John tells you why it happened. He interrupts himself oftentimes and says, oh, this happened because of this. I'm like, oh, great, that's helpful. So I often encourage people, if you want to start somewhere, read the Gospel of John. Very, very helpful. And his purpose, he writes it for one purpose, to show us who Jesus is so that we might believe. So after the Gospels, you get to Acts. And Acts is basically the story of the early church. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it tells the story of the early church. After that, we get a bunch of letters. That's basically most of your New Testament. Bunch of letters. For instance, you get letters that Paul wrote in Romans, basically his letter to the church in Rome. You get 1 and 2 Corinthians, his letter to the Corinthian church, right? You get, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, Colossians, all these are just letters that Paul wrote to the different churches addressing certain issues or encouraging them in some way. And so we get to read these, what he was saying to them. Then you get letters to people, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. They were written to Timothy and written to Titus. Then we get to Hebrews, which is actually in between all this, and Hebrews is actually a break in the letters. Hebrews is essentially a New Testament book that was writing about everything that happened in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. It's fascinating. Talking about all those sacrifices in the Old Testament, it was because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. It was preparing the way for him. Then we get a little bit more letters. You know, we get, like for instance, 1 and 2 Peter, their letters. 1, 2, and 3 John, their letters. You get Jude and, you know, letters like that. But then it finishes up with the book of Revelation, which is John's vision of the end times, of heaven and what it's like. And so it gives us this picture that of Jesus is the only one worthy of our worship, and he's praised forever. All the angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty right now in heaven. And it gives us this picture that one day God will return to this earth and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more mourning or suffering or pain because God will take our world and will take us that's been turned upside down and he'll turn it right side up and he will make everything whole and complete. A world where God fully reigns, where those who are in Christ can live with him forever. Here's one more scripture for you, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, it says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So I tell you all this because I really believe that Scripture can transform your life if you'll read it, if you'll apply it to your life. In fact, as you read Scripture, I want to encourage you in this next year to be people of the Word. To get into the Scripture, maybe every single day, to you don't have to read a whole lot, but just maybe read a little bit of Scripture. And I want you to ask three questions as you read Scripture. Every time you read it, you can apply this to every Scripture. First question is, what does the Scripture say to the people it's addressing? What does the people say to them? Second question is, what does the Scripture teach me about God? What does it say about God? Third question, what is the Scripture saying to me? What does it say to them who is written to? What does it say about God? What does it say to me? And so as we read Scripture in this year, my prayer is that we would be people of the book. We'd be people who get into God's word like never before so that it can transform our lives.